we need to talk about composition as a separate skill. And that skill involves not necessarily just playing something off the top of your head and writing it down, but it's going to a table or going to your computer and crafting something that when you play it, you realize that you probably would not have come up with that had you just pressed record and started playing. Hello and welcome to the Musician Toolkit, episode number 72. My name is David Lane, and it is great to be with you once again. So I'm pretty excited about today's episode, and I don't know if everyone else is going to be as excited about it as not, because it's a bit of a curiosity of how well such an episode is going to go, where I'm going to compose a piece of music, talk about what I'm doing, and have that be entirely audio, with the exception of a PDF copy of my final work that I'm going to put in the show notes that you can go check out. But still, I'm excited about it because this hits on the core of why I started this podcast in the first place, and that is to teach developing musicians ways to enhance the toolkit that they have, the musician toolkit that they have, so that they can become more complete, more well-rounded musicians. And I think this is the first episode that's really gotten into the craft of composition. We've talked to composers, we've talked about composing, but I don't think I've shared how to compose a piece of music. And we're going to be talking about true composition today, not just improvisation, as I'll explain in just a moment. But first, let me continue a trend of recent episodes that's going to continue for a while. I need your feedback on any episode that you wish to tell me about. If you're indifferent, I guess I don't need to hear from you. But if you like this episode or don't care for this episode, I need to hear from you. My feelings are not going to be hurt by you saying I really didn't care for that. And while I'm going to be, you know, pleased if you tell me that you did care for it, that you did like this, what I need to know is whether or not you want more or fewer episodes like this, because I have a YouTube channel. I have means of sharing episodes like this that do not necessarily connect with the podcast. So I'm not going to feel any offense at all if you tell me this just didn't work for you as a podcast listener. But if you think, well, yeah, this is exactly what I could definitely use more of this because I'm not getting this that often from other podcasts. Again, all of this feedback really helps. I know we're on episode 72, and at a rate of once a week, we're still 28 weeks away, so like nearly 7 months away from getting to episode 100. But long before I get there, I want to be thinking about all kinds of aspects about this podcast, the ways that I can improve it, to streamline it, to make sure that the audience who most values these episodes, that comes back episode after episode, that you are getting the best podcast that I can provide, and one that clicks with you more often than it doesn't. And again, I don't read minds. I've got one data point by looking at which episodes are the more popular ones. But again, it doesn't tell me if the popular episodes include a lot of new listeners or the ones that people who listen to, say, I don't know, 6 out of every 9 episodes, which 3 are they skipping? I don't have any information like that unless you let me know. So probably the best way to let me know is send me a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Instagram, I'm at David Lane Music. On Facebook, I'm at David M. Lane Music, but you know, you can also go to my website, davidlanemusic.com, and there's a contact form right there on the first page, and just tell me what episode you're talking about, whether or not you want more of it or fewer of it. You don't even have to give me any details of their net. Now, the other thing that I suggested last week that you could also consider doing is, if you don't want to tell me that, if you don't want to tell me which episodes you want more of or ones that you want fewer of, tell me just a little bit about who you are. Are you a music student? Are you a professional musician who's kind of getting started or is trying to go up to the next level? Just tell me what it is that you're looking for that you think that this podcast could help you more with. That's a way of kind of going about it without kind of picking on any individual episodes. But however your comfort level is, definitely consider reaching out. So today I'm going to be talking about how to compose a canon. So let me define what a canon is, and then I'll talk about why I think this is an important exercise. And before you check out saying, oh, I'm not a composer, this doesn't apply to me, this won't be a very long episode, and I do think it applies to you. If you are a musician of any kind, whether or not you're going to actually compose, I think there is some benefit to doing this exercise and getting an understanding of how to compose a canon. So what is a canon? A canon is a type of musical composition that features two or more musical lines happening at the same time, where one is the leader and the others have the exact same melody but starting at different points. For example, the very famous Pachelbel canon, as I mentioned in the episode of 25 More Essential Classical Pieces You Should Know that was presented recently. In its original form, that actually is a canon. There's three violinists all playing off of the same part. The first violinist begins. And then the second violinist begins that same thing, playing. And so on. While the first violinist is now playing, and when the second violinist gets to that point, the third violinist starts at the very beginning, and the first violinist is playing. And so you put all that together and you have something like. And so on. Now, canons come in a lot of varieties. You can have a canon at the octave. You can have a canon at the fifth. This is where the imitating voice starts on the dominant of the scale. In other words, if you start on a C for your leader, your imitator comes in on the dominant. You also have what's called a canon of augmentation or a canon of diminution. This is where the two voices could start at the same time, but one is going twice as fast or twice as slow as the other. Now, what about a round? What about something like Frère Jacques, which has something like this? So things like that, things like Row, Row, Row Your Boat, that is a canon. It's also a round. A round is a type of canon that loops back to the beginning, repeats back to the beginning, and never ends until all of the performers agree that it's going to end. Canons can be designed to be two voices, three voices, four voices. If you make it long enough, I mean, it could be however many musicians you want. It does get a little bit more challenging and also a little bit more limiting. The deeper you get the canon, the less you're willing to explore a lot of dissonances. Okay, so why do I recommend the canon? Because this is something, every time I get a composition student, this is within the first few weeks of lessons, this is something that I am going to assign for them to do. And I do that for a variety of reasons. So the main reason is that most composers get into composing through what is really what I would call transcribed improvisation. So improvisation is making up music on the spot. So when you first get started composing, you hear something in your head, or you start playing around when you're practicing, and you realize, hey, I'm coming up with brand new music. This is really fun. And you might record it, you know, whether with your phone or with some audio recorder, or if you have a computer with a notation program already, you know, you might, or something like GarageBand or some kind of a DAW, you might record it that way. And then you may get around to transcribing it, writing down what it was that you played. And before you know it, you're calling yourself a composer because you are putting music on a staff that you made up.
Well, that sounds wrong. You're putting music you made up on a staff.
But the craft of being a composer involves skills greater than that. I shouldn't say not necessarily greater, but skills different from that. If you've listened to past episodes, I don't want you to think I am downgrading improvisation. In fact, I think it needs to be talked about more. So improvisation, we're going to have some more talks about that as long as this podcast is around. So don't take any wrong impressions. But we need to talk about composition as a separate skill. And that skill involves not necessarily just playing something off the top of your head and writing it down, but it's going to a table or going to your computer and crafting something that when you play it, you realize that you probably would not have come up with that had you just pressed record and started playing. And this helps you with the skill of polyphony. It helps you with the skill of managing multiple lines. It also allows you the fluency you need to arrange music or compose music for your ensemble. And if you desire to become a composer, it will give you the skills that you need to sharpen your craft of composition so that you're not always relying on a muse or some other flash of inspiration. So I start with a two-voice canon at the octave. We're going to do one that's somewhere around 16 measures long. And I always start with this, with everybody that I teach composition to, because not only does it do all of the benefits that I just said, but it's very easy. Composing a two-part canon takes just a basic sense of how intervals work together and, you know, just a brief primer. Especially, we're going to stay completely within a major scale. We're going to do something in the key of G major. And so every note's going to fit that scale. So if your interval, obviously, in addition to add octaves to these, possibly, because we're going to be doing it on a two-staff system, treble clef on top, bass clef on the bottom, something that you could play on the piano. We're going to make it easy. So we just want to have an understanding that thirds, fourths, fifths, and sixths are going to have a consonant or pleasant sound to our ears, and then seconds and sevenths are going to be a little bit more dissonant. And you can certainly have all of those, but you just want to be aware when it happens. Sometimes you may end up having a dissonance that resolves. And just also know if that dissonance happens like in between beats, it's going to be much more tame. So I'm going to compose a canon here. I'm going to talk it out. What I would recommend, though, is to pause this recording in just a half a minute and go to the show notes of this podcast. If you found this on social media, you'll need to go to the actual podcast feed or the link that I usually provide for the podcast. It's in the bio that takes you to my website. And if you're on YouTube, you will probably also need to do this as well. You'll have to go to the source link at the top of the description. And you will see in the show notes a link to the file that I'm going to compose here. It's a PDF. You can go ahead and download it, and you can follow along, and I'm going to describe how I composed it. Now, the finished product, we're not going to have any dynamics or articulation, no tempo marks. It's not going to be a finished piece. I'm just going to go through the notes and talk about how I did this. So I'm going to take a two-staff, and if you want, you can also take out some blank staff paper and copy along, and then go and download that PDF and see how you did, how you followed along. Okay, so we're going to do a piano score. So two staffs, going to draw the brace that connects them, treble clef on top, bass clef on the bottom. We're going to do it in G major, so we're going to put a key signature of F sharp right after the clefs on each staff. We're going to use a time signature of 4-4. Now, either voice can start. I'm going to start with the treble clef. And let's make it simple. We're going to do all quarter notes. I'm going to do a G, D, A, D. So four quarter notes. And I'm going to stop. Just going to go to that one measure. Now let me explain what I've done so far. I've started off simple because, you know, you can always get more elaborate. You can always get more simple, but I just want to start simple this time, and then we'll make it a little bit more ornate as we go. But the other thing that I've done is G to D implies a G major chord, a one chord. A to D implies a D major chord or a five chord. So one trap you can get into with a canon is making only one chord for that first measure. And then it's very, and then if you're going to start the canon in the second measure, you're going to be stuck on that one chord the whole time. And maybe that's what you want, but you'll get a lot, you'll find it a lot easier to manage if you've got a chord progression of some kind. So I only did that first measure because it is measure two where we're going to begin our imitation. So I wrote that G, D, A, D quarter notes in the right hand. An octave lower on the bass clef staff and measure two, I'm going to copy that. So I'm going to copy so that the left hand in measure two plays that same G, D, A, D quarter notes. So what I have so far is the right hand playing G, D, A, D, left hand, G, D, A, D. Now I'm going to harmonize this left hand G, D, A, D, and I'm going to take a half note B in the right hand that will go with the G, D in the left. And then we'll do quarter against quarter. I'll do C, A. That C now implies the seventh of the chord. So now we have a 5-7 in there. So if we kind of hear that together, the left hand which starts, the right hand which goes on, together. Okay, so now I'm going to copy that left hand, B half note, C, A quarter notes. Now that half note gives me an opportunity to fill up the time with the right hand, so I'm going to fill it up with eighth notes. So I still want that sensation of a one chord, a G chord, so I want to make sure that I have a G, B, or a D in there. And since we're going to do eighth notes, it's okay to have some passing tones or some kind of non-chord tone. So again, passing tone is when you step, for example, step up into a note and then step away the same direction, or step down and so forth. You could also have a neighbor tone where you step up and come back, or step down and come back. So what I'm going to do this time is where I have the left hand B half note, C and A quarter notes, I'm going to take the right hand and we're going to do eighth notes. We're going to go G, A, B, G, and then we're going to do another quarter note against quarter note. So we'll finish the right hand by going quarter note A, quarter note D. So we have G, A, B, G, A, D. So that's four eighth notes and two quarter notes. All right, so let's copy that to the left hand. Four eighth notes, G, A, B, G, and two quarter notes, A, D. So now in the right hand, I think it'd be fine to do a little bit of an interesting dissonance, and that could help us set up maybe a possible chord change. And so this time I'm going to put a C, which would be like a 4 or a 4-3 suspension going against that G. So the right hand, I'm going to have do a C quarter note, and then we'll resolve that to 2 eighth notes BD, which does a nice contrary motion with what's in the left hand. And then let's step down like a scale. We'll go C, B, eighth notes, and then A quarter note. And so this is going quarter, eighth, 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 quarter, one, two, and three, and four. So that's going to do C, B, D, C, B, A. And that sounds like, and we add that to the left hand. And it's going, with the left hand is, so that's going to sound together. And now, just up to this point, we have four measures. So far it sounds like this. We have, starting with the right hand, Sorry, that wasn't perfectly in tempo. Okay, let's keep it going. Let's take that right hand where I went. Quarter, 4/8 quarter going C, B, D, C, B, A. And let's put that in the left hand. And now since that's kind of a fast rhythm, I'm going to slow it down in the right hand when I harmonize this. I'm going to take a G, above middle C quarter note. And then let's go up to an E half note, which is actually, it only fits the C in, among those 4/8 notes. The B, the D, and the other B are all kind of non-chord tones, but it's the interval of a fourth twice and a second once, you know, plus an octave. And it's a very mild dissonance, but it's leading us somewhere. And where it's leading us to is a C chord. We finally have a four chord in the mix that we can play with for a while. So it gets us off the monotony of going back and forth between 1 and 5 or 1 and 5/7. Okay, so again, if you're keeping track, we're on measure 5. I just did a G quarter note in the right hand, an E half note, and then let's step up to an F sharp, and then kind of have the idea looking ahead, we're going to go to a G 8th note. And then I'm going to go ahead and copy that into the left hand of measure 6. So G quarter note up to an E half note, F sharp quarter note. All right, so just taking measure 5 together. Okay, so the left hand, I have this bass of G, E, F sharp, quarter, half note, quarter. Let's fill this with 8th notes. And let's leave out the C this time, and we're going to make it E minor. So we're going to make it a 6th chord. So I'm going to arpeggiate an E minor chord in the right hand, all 8th notes. We're going to go from that high G that we landed on and go G, E, B, down to the next G. And then let's step up with 8th notes, A, B, C, D. That C, D will catch, in the right hand, will catch the F sharp in the left to make an implied 5/7 chord. So put that together, and it's going to be... And then we copy that to the left hand. And for the right hand, we'll just slow that down with some half notes. We'll give that a B. And then we'll give that an A, half notes. And that kind of keeps the chord progression the same. It's very, very safe choice. Put that in the left hand. So two half notes, we're on measure eight now. So we have the B, the A, right hand. Let's do some quarter notes, and let's bring back G major and D chords. So we have we'll do that as quarter notes. We have a G to a D, which fits that B nicely. It's the two notes of the G chord that's not already in the left hand, and A to D. Actually, what I just did was I just brought back measure one. So it's like we're bringing back that first phrase, and that's now going over a left hand. That's okay. We're going to put that in that right hand part, that GDAD, that first measure melody or the pattern again, put it in the left hand of measure 9. But I'm looking at what I did on measure 2, where the right hand goes half note B, quarter note C and A. And I want to this time make it different. I want to embellish it a little bit. So let's fill it up with some other notes. So let's take the essence of that, the B, C, A, and let's make it all 8th notes, and we'll take the right hand to go B, A, B, D, C, B, and let's do a quarter note A. So it's kind of a variation of that, and against the left hand it's... And then put that right hand part, that B, A, B, D, C, B, A, 6/8 notes and a quarter note, put that in the left hand. And we'll harmonize that, kind of keep the similar pattern. We'll have a G, all quarter notes, we'll do G, step down to an F sharp, which actually gives us a B minor chord going against the B and D in the left hand. And then let's do an E, which goes against the C. That gives us an implied C. And then we have an F sharp. In measure 10, we have four different chords. We have an implied 1, 3, 4, and 5. And that's going to sound like this. Again, take the right hand quarter notes, put it in the left hand for measure 11. And the right hand, I think we're just going to start on a G that's an octave above the left hand. We're just going to step down the scale, knowing that we'll hit a couple of dissonances along the way. But it's giving us kind of a 1-4. Sorry, it's giving us kind of a 1-5-4. And then we have an F sharp, which implies 5, and the left hand is harmonizing with D. So the right hand for measure 11 is 4 eighth notes, 2 quarters. It's going to go G, F sharp, E, D, C, D. Now, we're getting to the point, just for the sake of this exercise, I want to bring it to a close. Now, you can break up a canon at any point. You can break it up in the last measure. You can break it up 2, 3, 4 measures from the end to give yourself a nice free cadence. I'm going to take it all the way to the last measure, though, before there's a difference. So we're going to be getting close. Let's see how this starts to feel. We take that, again, that left hand, that right hand, 4 eighth notes, 2 quarters, we put in the left hand. Right hand, half notes, B, A. We brought it back to a 1-5-7 as far as like two beats at a time. And, you know, that whole pattern sounds like it's getting ready to end. So let's take that B, A in the left hand, or in the right hand, half notes of measure 12, and let's put it on measure 13, half notes, B, A. And then right hand, let's do a quarter rest at the beginning and then bring that G, which is our tonic note, and we'll do 2 eighth notes. We'll do G, F sharp. That's on beat 2 because quarter rest on beat 1. So G, F sharp, 8th notes on beat 2. 2 quarter notes, we'll step down, E, D. It's kind of taking this little downscale pattern that we started and it's harmonizing with this left hand going. And then when we copy that over to the left hand, we have this rest, G, F sharp, E, D. So rest, eighth, eighth, quarter, quarter. And you now have, you're ending that measure with the 5. With the dominant, which is going to very strongly go back to the 1. And that means that's going to be a good strong ending. So let's just harmonize that with the right hand. This is our next to last measure, so this will not need to be copied. So we'll just put a C, which is a step lower than the previous measure. I'm going to step up to D. And so that goes against. And then let's just bring that up to 2 G's. You could, if you wanted to have the left hand go down, I'm going to come up. I just like it. I think it's a little stronger ending. Never mind the theory rules that say to avoid direct octaves. That doesn't really apply when you're doing something that's kind of a unison or an octave melody configuration at the end. So I'm going to play it a little slowly. This is the full canon that I just composed. So that is how to compose a canon, and that's a very simple piece. It's something that, you know, I might give to an early intermediate, late beginning pianist. We could certainly get more elaborate, we could get more adventurous, we could be more embracing of dissonances, we could try for some kind of more wild connections between the lines, and of course we could definitely increase the odds of doing that if we were to add a third part. So imagine you're writing this for string trio. You could add a fourth part, and you could have, you know, some kind of a quartet. So, you know, your possibilities are endless, but practicing composing canons will give you a degree of music education that you're probably missing from other aspects of music. It really teaches you to think about how intervals work, how you get implied harmonies, and of course you'll get actual harmonies if you get more than two lines at a time. So if you really want to improve your musicianship, I'd strive to compose a canon or something like it a couple of times a month, you know, something like this, but at least once a month. Just sharpen your toolkit by understanding how to compose polyphony. And this is a prerequisite if you want to handle something with more strict formality, such as a fugue or even an invention, where you've got to really control your melodic material. It'll also help you when you start orchestrating things of how you can add to what you have. And you don't ever have to, by the way, you never have to just put a strict canon in a piece of music. But you could have imitation for one, two, three, or four measures. You've given yourself a really sharp toolkit, whether you're composing or arranging. If you would like to compose your own canon and get my feedback, for 1 week only, and this is just a benefit for those who discover this podcast, who are listening and are current with this podcast. If you listen to this within 7 days of its release, compose your canon. If you would like to share it with me by sending a message at davidlanemusic.com/contact, I will be happy to give you my feedback for free. And that's going to wrap up today's episode. Please share this with somebody who can get some benefit from this podcast, someone you think that might enjoy it. Share it on your social media. That is the number one thing you can do to help this podcast grow, and I'm very appreciative of that. Going to be a few more solo episodes in a row before I have a guest, but the next two episodes for sure, actually next two or three, are very different from each other, so looking forward to sharing them. For now, thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back with you again next week.